An economist offers this metaphor today, the trillion-dollar flask of liquor smuggled into the U.S. economy. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It's been just under 3 weeks since volatility returned to financial markets. Volatility in some cases with a vengeance. Just a couple moments ago, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up nearly 200 points. At the moment, it's up 102 points, 0.4%, but the S&P and the NASDAQ are each up 0.6%. Hong Kong stocks fell 1.5% today. The FTSE in London is down 1%. The big market mover of the week so far, a statement from U.S. central bankers that hit the screens at 2:02 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday, broadly hinting the Fed's about to tap on the economic brakes again. Our Thursday analyst, Diane Swonk, is chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Good morning to you, Diane.
Good morning.
So all of us, you too, were watching that Federal Reserve statement yesterday suggesting, you know, we're going to get some higher interest rates probably here.
We certainly are. The Fed seems committed. They had revised up growth, and that was before we got the increased spending that we're going to see from the federal government, which is going to juice the economy even more and put the Fed in this uncomfortable position of they're sort of going to be watering down the punch bowl while Congress sort of plays the adolescent sneaking in flasks of alcohol and spiking the punch at the school dance.
Love the metaphor. Now, listen, I was a history major, and I've lived through a really long expansion, the 1990s. Why is the Fed so worried? Maybe we could do another one of those.
Well, we might be able to, but it won't come without a cost. What we're facing is now escalating deficits and debt, and it's the trajectory of those that really matters, and they're already going up because we have an aging population. So we've just added all that to that, which means even if we make it to summer of 2019, which I think is going to be dicey, what we'll see is the cost of higher interest rates choking off some of the very spending and investment we want to create by all this fiscal stimulus today.
Make it to the summer of 2019. I mean, you don't mean like live that long. You mean the expansion continues at least that long.
Live that long to match the 1990s. And, you know, we're going to hit labor shortages that are going to be acute way before then and reminiscent of the 90s. But no one really remembers what it was like to sort of help wanted ads that said now hiring pulse required.
Pulse required. That was the prerequisite. All right. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about that phone line to her hotel. Sounded like there was a didgeridoo there. Headlines I never thought I'd be able to deliver. There's news Americans are prioritizing saving. According to a new report from Bankrate.com, 58% of Americans say they now have more emergency savings than credit card debt. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank explains.
Still, 21% of Americans claim they now have more credit card debt than savings. And Bankrate's chief financial analyst Greg McBride says that's the lowest ever.
We're seeing more and more American households right-sizing the equation between their credit card debt and their emergency savings.
That rainy day fund is the buffer between you and high interest rate debt for any unplanned expenses. And contrary to popular belief, McBride says some millennials are inclined to save.
Millennials are second only to those in the silent generation in terms of having more emergency savings than credit card debt.
It's good to have a cushion. But U.S. household debt is at its highest point since before the recession. Most people, says NYU economics professor Jonathan Morduck, should really be thinking about paying down their debt.
It's a disservice to keep focusing on the savings side when we've really got a big debt problem we have to deal with.
The bottom line, while it is easier to save these days, the nagging challenge remains. Tackling debt. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
New York's Metropolitan Museum created waves when it made entrance fees mandatory, with some exceptions. Well, what about charging an entrance fee for a church? A big one, Notre Dame in Paris. That cathedral needs fixing, but the Catholic Church leadership in France is against charging to get in. John Lawrenson reports from Paris.
If you look here, you see.
Michel Picot, head of Friends of Notre Dame de Paris, is showing me around the famous cathedral.
This is part of the cathedral.
Wow.
That have been stocked here.
50 meters long, lots and lots of stones, which all comes from the cathedral?
All from the cathedral. So either they've fallen down or they've been taken off the cathedral because there was a big risk
that they would
for
fall.
Them to fall.
He says water is seeping through the roof, threatening the beams that hold it up, and where there should be gargoyles, there are often bits of plastic piping sticking out instead.
The thing, buttress, is partly falling.
This is all just hanging on, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
In France, the government owns all old churches and is responsible for their upkeep. Picot hopes to supplement insufficient government funds with private sponsorship, but others say some churches should charge an entrance fee. Edouard de la Maze is the president of the Religious Heritage Observatory, whose mission is to save France's close to 120,000 old churches.
Nous pensons qu'il est nécessaire aujourd'hui.
France has to start charging for tourist visits of some religious buildings, as happens in Spain, for example, or the UK. The cathedrals are places of worship, but they are not only places of worship. They are also places of history. And it is right and proper that tourists' entrance fees be used to maintain them.
Back at Notre-Dame, some of the 13 million people that visit this cathedral each year are lined up to get in. The Conference of French Bishops has rejected the idea of making them pay, saying it doesn't want money to come between people and God. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And, you know, the North American competition to be the site of Amazon's parallel headquarters and all the jobs that would come with it. Well, Europe's got a mini one of these going on right now. The consumer products giant Unilever wants to build a new consolidated headquarters either in the Netherlands or in Britain. UK leaders are reportedly super nervous now that the Dutch are going to win this because the UK is Brexiting from Europe. The Rotterdam versus London match could be resolved at the Unilever board meeting next month. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.